The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Edge Boost. Edge Boost enables you to double your bet with no interest. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to get started today.
Adio, DeGenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Episode 357 is going out to one of our friends in the sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. Appy, if you're in the Discord last night, you'll know why I'm sending this out to him. So this, it's a he, I believe. I think everyone's, who am I kidding? Everyone in there is a guy. Everyone listening is a guy, sadly. Anyhow. Thank you for coming to the show, regardless of how you identify. I am one of the hosts. I identify as Jeff Chalks Fox, the chalky side. I don't know. I don't even know if I am anymore. Chalky side of this combo. I'm the losing side of this combo, but I can spin it to make it seem like I had a good night. You just wait. This the man who loves to spin, I'm going to introduce in a second. He can spin anything. So let's bring him in. It's the brains of the operation and the beauty. It's Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
So I am going to quickly gloat that I believe this is my fifth event, UFC event in a row that I beat you in.
Probably, yep.
Fifth or sixth. But I am going to also pre-spin it for you. Yes. Because it's not often somebody crushes their lock, their dog, and their prop all in the
same
event.
Are we counting my dog? Because my dog fell through, and then you asked me for a different one after. It wasn't on
air. I'm counting. I'm counting your dog. Yeah.
I got
to update my spreadsheet. For those of you who only listen to the pod and don't follow us on Twitter, which, by the way, follow us on Twitter, at SGPNMMA. But for those who didn't catch us, he bet Jim Miller as his underdog. And then, obviously, Jim Miller wasn't an underdog in the fight by the time it actually happened because he changed opponents. Jared Gordon's head has made it scrambled eggs at this point, and he certainly shouldn't be allowed to fight. So I asked him, I said, before I throw this graphic up on our Twitter, do you want a real underdog that you can actually bet? And he said, yeah, throw the DeMonster, Damon Blackshear in there. And, man, he looked incredible. It wound up being a clean sweep for Foxy. So there I'm going to pre-spin it in your way. I think you get to gloat.
I do get to gloat. I hit my lock, John Castaneda. I hit my dog, Damon Blackshear. I hit my prop, which was Karine Silva inside the distance. That was very, very clearly inside the distance that match did. That fight did not last long. So -120, +125, +100. Gumby did not too bad for himself as well. But we'll go through all the fights in a moment.
I'm gonna gloat real quick too. That's my lock and dog both hit. So I missed on the prop. Yep. I had Arlovski by decision. I hit the lock and dog.
He hit Lins as a dog.
And Felipe Lins.
No complaints.
That's the third straight event I've hit lock and dog both.
Really? Oh, wow. Look at this guy.
Yeah.
And yet. Actually, you're catching up. You're beating me in the... Yeah, so the locks, Gumby is up 15% return on investment. I am still down. We're both down in our dogs. Gumby barely down. Me down a lot. And then props, I am barely down. Gumby is up 14% on return on investment. So yeah, you're killing it.
Yeah, it's been a really good like five or six events.
Yes. Hopefully IRL, it's been good too. Not just on a silly
podcast. It has, thanks to the good man Tim Elliott in all of his stretch.
Dear. We'll talk about that. Actually, maybe before we jump into all that, I'm gonna tell you what's keeping us in your ear holes. Not your ear pods or whatever you listen to, but no. And speaking of Edge Boost, this episode is supported by Edge Boost. Edge Boost is the world's first bet now, pay later Visa card. Edge currently offers up to $2,500 in betting advances, which can be extremely valuable, tool. Imagine what you can do with an increased bankroll. Get down on some of your favorite futures without tying up your bankroll for months. That's what you can do, especially with the NFL season on the way. Double down on a favorite bet you like, or even use it to create an awesome middle or even hedge. So like I said, NFL futures, if you need some extra dough, Edge Boost is the place to go. Hey, that rhymes. They should use that. Edge Boost isn't some sleazy loan shark as they charge zero interest. You know of any other way you can access more money to place your favorite bets without paying any interest? Legally, I assume they're asking. I'm sure there's plenty of places you can get money with zero interest, but not illegally. Support SGPN and grow your bankroll by going to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge, E-D-G-E, to sign up. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge. You must be 21 years or older to use it. Problem gambler or gambling, call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right. Let's get into UFC on ESPN. Cara France versus Albazi. They mentioned this on, I guess, yeah, Severe MMA podcast I listened to this morning. But if you're watching KSW before this, this was quite a juxtaposition between the two events, because KSW was a wild event in like 50,000 person football stadium. And then you had the nice quiet Apex with a lot of no name fighters on the card.
Yeah, but also one had two title fights canceled. So
yeah, that's true. That's true. All right. So we had this one at the UFC Apex, where apparently fighters don't get free tickets for their families anymore or friends, because Tim Elliott complained about that on Twitter. So main event, controversial decision. Amir Albazi, who we did not pick, won the flyweight 5-round main event over Kai Kara France. Split decision, 47-48, 48, 47, 48, 47. As I said in the Discord, actually everyone in the Discord, or surprisingly, this is an online space. Everyone is really good people in there. No one really piles on anyone or anything, but we have intelligent discussions and debates. But as the fight was going on, we were saying how this is such a close, tight fight. Because of that, you can't say this was a robbery by any means. It was a very tight fight. However, one of the judges' scorecards, the one and only Chris Lee, which swung the fight in Albazi's favor, his scorecard is kind of hard to justify, considering he gave Albazi the fourth round, which was clearly not his round.
I thought Kai Kara France won. I thought he won kind of. I thought he won kind of comfortably too. I thought
1-4-5 for sure.
1-4-5 seemed obvious. And I'm gonna be honest. I know no judge gave him two, but I almost think he won two.
It was a toss up for sure.
And I think it's one of those situations. I've talked about this before. In a 5-round fight, when one guy clearly wins round one, which I guess he didn't clearly win round one because Sal D'Amato gave it to Albazi. But when somebody clearly wins round one, as I thought Kai Kara France did, and then that second round comes around and the losing fighter is closer, I think they tend to give them the round and just be like, you know, whether it's subconsciously or consciously, they don't want him to be down 2-0 and to be like non-competitive at that point. Or they're like, oh yeah, he looked good in that round. When in fact, he didn't look better than the fighter he was fighting. He just looked better than the round one version of himself. So I think that was a mistake. I think you could have argued Kai Kara France 49-46 more easily than you could Albazi 48-47. But
yeah.
With that being said, you know, scorecards aside, complaints aside, you know, fight aside, Amir Albazi seemed very sure that he was getting a title shot after this. There's no way, right? Like there's no way and I don't just mean because like it wasn't an emphatic win, it wasn't an impressive win. Just like no part of watching him in that fight made me think like, oh man, we gotta get this guy to the top. What would this guy versus Pantoja look like? Or what would this guy versus Moran? I'll tell you what it looked like. Pantoja would fucking sauce him. Pantoja would make him look despicable. I think he could be very excited, but this is his first win over anybody who matters in the flyweight division, and it wasn't good. So he's going to have to fight probably Brandon Royval, right? Like that makes the most sense.
Yeah,
him and Brandon Royval for the number one contender spot.
Yep. In the performance rankings I do on my Substack, moneymma.substack.com, subscribe. They're like right beside each other. Albazi and Royval. So it makes perfect sense. Yep.
Yeah. And it just makes sense too, because like Royval has beaten Kai Kara France too.
Yep.
Sick guillotine choke after tagging him on the feet. That was fun. And he's now on a massive 3-fight winning streak. Bonturin, Matt Schnell, Matthews Nicolau. He finished two of those guys. He got performance bonuses twice, both in the first round. And his last two losses, Moreno and Pantoja. So like if you look at his last 9 fights, his only losses in his last 9 fights were to Moreno and Pantoja. So I like, if you're asking me, does Royval deserve it or does Albazy deserve it? Like, there's no way you give it to Albazy before Royval.
Yep. Very, very true. So we missed on this. Sadly, we had Kaiker France minus 110. So KKF, is he going to be like relegated to like the upper gatekeeper of the division?
You know, I think he's got to go back and fight somebody a little bit further down. Somebody like a David Dvorak. Although David Dvorak's got a fight book, but somebody like of that nature, or, you know, a Sumu Derji or somebody like that. But I don't think that we need to write him off for two reasons. Number one, he just won this fight against the guy we're now talking about being in a number one contender fight. Number two, he's 30. You know, he's not an old guy. Like, he's 30 years old and he just turned 30. So like, he's got plenty of time in front of him. I think he has the ability to be upper echelon guys. I mean, like, I think he just beat Amir Albazy. So obviously I think he can beat upper echelon guys. So, I don't think we have to worry about KKF yet.
All right. I actually got one right that Gumby didn't get right in the next fight. This is a rarity last night. I had Alex Caceres beating Daniel Pineda. It was a messy fight. I said in the Discord, this is for sure winning fight of the night because it's just a mess. And the UFC brass seems to reward messy fights. But Caceres beat Daniel Pineda 29-28 across the board. Pineda seemed like he wanted, he got gassed multiple times in the fight. Kind of was waiting for the ref to step in, and the ref wouldn't, and then he would start fighting again. So messy fight, not really surprising with these two in it. And Caceres came through for me.
Yeah, right. Judges scorecards on this, which I can appreciate. Also, I do want to say, like, I liked Pineda's value at, you know, what did we have him at, like, plus 150 or something like that. And I said, you know, like, give Pineda a shot here. The takedowns were there like I thought they would be. I mean, he went 3 of 11, which doesn't sound great, but he had, you know, like 4 or 5 minutes of top control time in a 15-minute fight. And, you know, did he look worse boxing? Yeah, but I kind of predicted he'd look worse boxing. And, I fun fight. Not much to say other than that.
Nope. This was a pretty much inconsequential card. There are some obviously interesting things for nerds like us. All right. Then we had this fight. We ended up not having an official pick on because it, as Dan said, Jerry Gordon, who was a late minute replacement, well, not late minute, but a short notice replacement to begin with. Apparently, trying to get over a concussion and cutting 36 pounds in 11 days. Probably wasn't the greatest choice for them to pick to step in on this fight. So he got pulled from the fight. Jesse Butler, did you know Jesse Butler before this, Dan?
I had heard his name before, but I couldn't have told you anything about him until I had to go back and watch.
There you go. So
and that's why if you were in the Discord, by the way, after I went back and watched two of his fights, I was like, Jim Miller's at negative 190. Go get it now, please.
Yes. Yeah. Jim Miller knocked him out with a punch. It was multiple punches after the fact, unfortunately. Like knocked him out bad 23 seconds into the fight. It took him a while to get up, and he still didn't seem to really, even when he was standing, didn't seem to know what was going on. But the old man strength came through again. Jim Miller.
Old man Jim Miller power is so fun. It's so fun.
No kidding. And he looks like he's growing a mullet. So perfect.
Yeah, he's basically an honorary Canadian at this point. But I'd say this, like, knock Jesse Butler all you want. Took the fight on 2 days' notice. Isn't a lightweight. He's a featherweight.
Nope.
He's also a guy who is better at jiu-jitsu than he is at boxing. And he was never going to be better at jiu-jitsu than Jim Miller. So, like, he basically was a too light of a weight guy going into a 2 days' notice fight that he had no chance of having any kind of advantages in. So, you know, props for him for taking what seems like an unwinnable fight. I hope they give him one actually at featherweight and we get to see a little bit more of what he's made of.
Yep. Usually if you do them a favor, the UFC will give you at least another shot, another kick of the can, so to speak. Flyweights were next. This was Dan made a lot of cash on this guy. Tim Elliott came through over Victor Altamirano. Altamirano was game, but Elliott is a tough guy to fight. 30-27, 29-28. Like I said, I thought there was value in Altamirano at plus 150. I think there was probably value on him there. He looked decent enough here, but Elliott came through minus 170 for Dan.
I said he'd wrestle him, and I said it would be easy. And you know what it was? It was really easy.
All right, if you say so.
No, did you think it looked like he was struggling to wrestle?
No, he wasn't struggling. No, not at all.
He had 6 of 7 and had over 11 minutes of control time in that fight. It's just one of those things where, don't get me wrong, Altamirano's got fun striking, but like you have to be able to keep it there. And I think that's going to be his problem moving forward too. Like, and I don't know. They don't can him after this one, right? He beat Vinicius Salvador. I'm sorry. I thought he lost to Vinicius Salvador. I'm misremembering that fight. I just don't think he's going to keep it on the feet versus anybody with decent wrestling. And unfortunate for him, the featherweight division is loaded with wrestlers.
Yep. Yeah, we haven't fired anyone yet. Crazy, right? Let's see. Karini Silva came through for us over Ketlin Souza. Did not take long in the Battle of the Chaos's submission knee bar. They're calling it a knee bar on Wikipedia, at least.
It's definitely not.
Okay. Do you know what it was? Actually, I'll tell you what we had it for. I had her inside the distance at even money. That was nice because every one of her wins have been inside the distance now, 16 for 16. And money line was minus 225. Now you can break it down.
So this is hard for me to really break down because it looked like, well, first of all, it just looked like Ketlin Souza had no idea what was happening to her, and so then she just waited for it to happen to her. She basically looked like a grappling dummy in there, which is not good. But I'll say this about Karini, is she went for what looks like a straight ankle lock, but there was some kind of like fulcrum pressure to like turn the knee to the side, which I don't know that I've seen. I've certainly never drilled in my whole life, because like when you get a straight ankle lock, the idea is you like get in on the Achilles and you you like hike it up towards your chest and you try to straighten it out as much as possible and make it feel like you're cutting their Achilles in half. And it looked like she was going for that straight ankle lock. Then she got some kind of like weird side pressure, and man, did that knee pop or what? Like that, I've rewatched that like 17 times. I tweeted it out. I've tweeted out from our SGPN MMA account. Like that was like fun as hell. And also like, and I think E. Spencer Kite said this on one of his shows this week, which I listened to, and he said like Karini Silva is like this close to us being like, oh, we have to talk about her at flyweight all the time now. Like when we're talking about fun flyweights, we have to talk about Karini Silva. She's like, she's almost how we felt about Manon Fiorot like 3 years ago, right? Like she's starting to feel like, oh, she's got it. And I mean, she definitely had it on Saturday.
She definitely is living up to the killer name. Yeah, I think in the performance rank, I think she's definitely ranked now. It's not like flyweight is a deep division. So she probably is worthy of some consideration getting ranked.
We should put her in there with Macy Barber next.
Oh, we should, shouldn't we? Welterweights. Elysio Zaleski.
Could change the top.
Yeah, change the top. Well, I lost in this one, so I really don't want to. He beat Abubakar Nurmagomedov. Another close fight, split decision. I think it was the correct decision, though. The right man won 28-29, 29-28, 29-28. Did not look any worse for wear. You would assume he's off the sauce now, but who knows? He was off for almost 2 years due to a drug test failure.
Yeah, he looked good from distance, right? And that's always kind of been his thing. Although, you know what? I actually think he got the best of the clinch exchanges, too, for that matter.
Like, yeah, he looked good everywhere.
Yeah. And I mean, he always has. And he stuffed enough of Abubakar's takedowns. I thought he himself was going to land more, which is kind of disappointing he didn't. But I guess he was landing enough of his strikes. And the bigger thing, too, was he was just like, he was throwing so much more than Abubakar. Like, Abubakar looked hesitant to, like, let go. And maybe that's just because when he got hit, he felt it, which is always kind of the thing with EDS. So, good win for him, good win for me.
Yeah, Zaleski is now, he's 10-3 in the UFC now.
Wild, right?
Sneaky,
And, like, I think I said this on our Thursday's episode, not against shitty competition. Right, like he beat Max Griffin, Sean Strickland, he beat Benoit St. Denis. His loss, you know, like losses to Li Jingliang, like that, that's like a, he beat Omari Akhmedov, who was apparently juicing to the gills. Like he's put together a hell of a resume.
Exactly. And we have a hell of a resume here at SGPN and our app. Make sure you download the app. We got NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Finals contest going on right now. You can win exclusively if you enter on our SGPN app. It's a series props and game props contest that they have game props before every game pops up there. I think you can still enter, but anyhow, I'm reading and doing the ad read regardless. You win $100 SGPN gift card is up for grabs if you win either contest. So download the SGPN app now and enter today. Get the app regardless, whether the contest is on or not. We always have contests on there. All right, prelims.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Daniel Santos made us look good. We both had him. He looked very good over Johnny Munoz Jr. 29-27, 29-27, 29-27. Oh, yeah, this was the low blow, the night of the low blows. This fight, guys, they just took turns kneeing and kicking each other in the balls.
Yeah, you love to see it.
You do. First strike of the evening was the kick to the balls.
Was there anything about this fight that made you be like, this is weird? Because I just watched it and I was like, and granted, I watched these the morning after where I already kind of knew the results. But like when I saw Daniel Santos beat Johnny Munoz and I saw the scorecards, I was like, okay, there's a point deduction somewhere in there. And it looks like he won all three rounds. And I watched it and I was like, oh yeah, he's just like Johnny Munoz can't wrestle this guy and he's a much worse striker. And then there's nothing else to say.
Yep. There you go. Good, nothing. You have nothing else to say then.
I got nothing to say.
All right, good.
This seemed a lot easier than the price we were getting on it, didn't it?
Yeah, we had him at minus 200, so we'll take our $50 on our $100 bet for sure. Next fight, we were all in on the old guy here, Andre Arlovski. I think he's going to have to be an auto fade going forward. It was basically a jab he got knocked out on by Dontell Mays. A TKO punches 3:17 into the second round. Like I said, Arlovski, I know you love him, but I think from now on, if he continues to fight, I am going to have to pick against him.
So you keep saying that he's like moving in on auto fade territory. But here's my question. What if they give him Junior Tafa?
I'm picking Junior Tafa.
You're going to pick Junior Tafa? The guy who
I'm not picking Arlovski anymore.
The guy who got manhandled by Muhammad Usman, you're going to pick Junior Tafa.
Yes, 44-year-old that just got knocked out at heavyweight. Yes, I'm not picking him again.
Oh man. Okay.
So I can't wait to pick against you.
Okay. Yeah. They're gonna book him against Junior Tafa, just so you know. and when they do, Arlovski by decision plus 185.
All right. Next fight, we got a real good line on. For some reason, John Castaneda was only minus 120 against a short notice newcomer in Muin Gafarov. 29-27 across the board for us for Castaneda. That was not a surprise. We saw this coming, and it was a decent, very, very nice line.
Well, yeah, why? I'm still baffled by this. Like, I still don't know why this was so easy. And the only reason that Gafarov got any point was this was a point deduction too, right? In the second,
yeah, right, yeah.
If I'm remembering correctly, and even Chris Lee got this one right, so. I don't know. I really do think people saw the OV at the end of somebody's name and was like, oh, you gotta bet him. The old Munaf Manji pick, right?
And don't
fade anybody whose name ends in OV, which by the way, at this point in time in the night, we're talking about two different guys with the OV at the last name and both of them lost. Three if you count the fact Arlovski's got it in the middle of his name. John Castaneda's really freaking good. And we're talking about a guy taking a fight on a week's notice who's pretty much, I mean, he just looked like a wrestler who couldn't box in there. So Yeah, easy money. I hope all you guys cash big on Castaneda too.
Here's an OV that we missed, Dan. Mohammed Naimov. He knocked out TKO punches Jamie Malarkey, the biggest underdog of the night. It was 259 in the second round. He was at plus 350. Short notice debuting fighter came through, and Joel, NHL Joel, had just blind picking fighters. He had Naimov. So we did not.
Naimov was getting the crap kicked out of him too.
Yep. And Malarkey led with his chin, and yeah, he ate one.
I don't know much to say other than like,
there isn't anything else to say.
I think our read was correct, right? Like, yep. he was a better fighter today.
I think Malarkey maybe got it too comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right. I think maybe he got too comfortable in 8-1, and that's upsetting.
We ate the next one. Jinyu Fry lost another close decision, because that's what she does, against Elise Reed, 29-28 across the board. We were another old head underdog we had in Fry, and did not come through.
I just have to say, if you knew Jinyu Fry's tendency to like look good early and then like slowly forget that she knows how to fight, if you knew that about her and you were like, who would be the perfect coach to help her and wake her out of her bullshit? You would be like, oh, she needs Safe Saud, right? Like, she needs to know that, like, after she wins that first round, she needs to keep the pedal to the metal. She can't, like, coast off or start to freak out or whatever it is that she does. And he is in her corner, and he is saying the right things. And for some reason, she still just, like, fades away every fight. She's also kind of old now, right? Like,
she is.
I think we're probably to the point where Jinyu Fry, despite the fact that, like, I do think she beat Vanessa Demopoulos two fights ago, she now hasn't won since July 31st of 2021. That was over Ashley Yoder, who's not in the UFC anymore. Before that, she beat Gloria DePaula, who's also not in the UFC anymore. Before that, two losses. Before that, a win in Invicta against Ashley Cummins. She's never won a UFC fight against somebody still in the UFC.
Yeah, no, she's going to go bye-bye, I think.
I think so, sadly, because when she's the Jinyu Fry we saw in the first round last night, she's really good. She's really good. She's just not that person very often.
Nope. All right, let's go to one that I did hit. I hit an underdog here. DeMont
Blackshear. Underdog of the week. Oh. Don't undersell it. Underdog of the week.
Wait a minute. I messed up. I had you listed as having Blackshear as well. You did not. You went against the guy that was on your podcast. DeMont Blackshear, TKO punches 354 into the second round. While I fix my over Luan Lucerda, while I fix my spreadsheet, Dan's going to quickly break down the fight for you.
I mean, he just looked a good bell to bell. I was surprised he looked as good on his feet as he did. I think, you know, DeMont Blackshear is one of those guys who I like hesitate to call him a veteran, because like he's fought a lot of high level dudes, but like when he was on the regional scene, he lost to a lot of them. Now he has made it to the show. This is his first win in three fights. But he like sometimes like, he embodies a veteran more than his record even shows. You know what I mean by that? Like, he just like seems like he knows what he's doing in every situation. And I think that kind of exposed Luan Lacerda here.
Definitely. And in the curtain jerker, I lost Felipe Lins. Boy, he's looking good at light heavyweight. Wasn't the greatest fight, but he took care of Maxim Grishin, 29-28, 29-28, 30-27. Lins, actually, now that I think about it, this was really bad fight IQ by Lins. It was his corner too. His corner, Lins was clearly faster on the feet with the striking. Grishin didn't want anything to do with Lins's striking, it appeared, after he got hit by a few of his jabs. And yet his corner was insisting that Lins try to grapple the guy. Cause I understand how that would have been the game plan heading into the fight, but he was doing very well on the feet. And yet while he was doing well on feet, he insisted on, you know, getting these super boring drawn out grappling exchanges that no one was winning. Lins is looking better at light heavyweight. He got the win here. I did not. Gumby did. He had Lins as the underdog plus 114.
underdog of the week. And also, I'm just going to throw this out here. Do you think Felipe Lins is good enough to be a ranked light heavyweight? Because first of all, light heavyweight sucks. Light heavyweight sucks. You're right, not yet. I'm not going to vote for him this week. I haven't filled out my rankings yet, but I'm not going to vote for him this week. But like, would you have to at least think about who you would pick in a fight between him and Dustin Jacoby? Like you'd sit and think about it for a bit.
Yeah. Jacoby's, I think, on the way down, sadly. So possibly, but yeah.
What if you told me Felipe Lins was fighting number 12 Dominic Reyes?
Yeah, Reyes is on his. Yeah, that's the thing. There is room for a new breed, a new wave of light heavyweights to rise up, because a lot of two of the people you just mentioned seem to be on the way out. So
yeah, and same with Paul Craig doesn't look like himself, and he's number 9, so he's not going to get that fight. But like Felipe Lins almost seems like he's got some of the skills that he could give Paul Craig trouble. So I think people are sleeping on how good this dude is at light heavyweight, because he looks so bad at heavyweight. And I say that as somebody who won the heavyweight PFL tournament, won $1 million in PFL, but also not for anything. Like he lost to Andrei Arlovsky and Tanner Boser at heavyweight, disappeared for 2 years, came back, shredded as hell, and is now 3-0 at 205. So sign me up for more Felipe Lins fights. I know that it maybe didn't look exciting on paper and in the moment, but it's like really exciting to see somebody who looked like his career was over figure something out.
Yeah, definitely interested in seeing where he goes going forward from here. So Gumby went 6-6, ended up losing $154.
That's not correct, is it?
Yes, I thought you had black share and you did not. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, you had 6. You're 6-6.
Okay, hang on. Let me, because my numbers say different numbers than yours say.
Really? Fine. You had Cara France. You had Pineda. You had Elliott.
At Silva.
You had Dos Santos. You had Santos. You had Arlovsky. You had Castaneda. You had Malarkey. You had Frey. You had Lucerda. You had Lins, right?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Loser.
My spreadsheet was also incorrect. Now I'm on the right.
Oh, well, there you go. There you go. So Gumby's at 54% in the year. I'm at 60%. Well, we're going to do better. And then we already told you about our locks and our props and our dogs and all that good stuff. And the Hungry Man Jong did not hit other ends of it. So boo to that. But
we hit our locks and dogs.
We did hit our locks and dogs. So hopefully you were following us on those and you made some money, as most people in the Discord did. As for the people who made real money, 50K bonuses, Caceres Pineda, as I mentioned, was fight of the night. Jim Miller and Mohamed Naimov won performances of the nights. Finally, the Octagon is heading north up to my home country of Canada, Vancouver, British Columbia, the Rogers Arena. And boy, do they have a barn burner of an event. Wow, what a fight card. What a pay-per-view. Remember, this is a pay-per-view I'm going to read off to you.
I love this happening fight card, this by the way.
Of course you do, because you are a nerd, which is good. Everyone listening is a nerd. But all right, remember, you have to pay for this, Dan. Amanda Nunes versus Irene Aldana.
Do you have to pay for it?
You do. Everyone has to pay for it.
Okay.
It's pay-per-view, Dan. Sure. You have to, or you go to jail. Dana White will get you. All right. Nunes versus Aldana for the Women's Bantamweight Championship. Co-main event, Charles Oliveira versus Benil Dariush. Not going to sneeze at that fight. Third from the top, Mike Malott versus Adam Fugit.
That fight rules. Yeah, that's
definitely a pay-per-view worthy card. Dan Ige versus Nate Landwehr, another pay-per-view worthy card. And then
do you think that isn't wild exciting?
Yeah, but Marc-Andre Barrio versus Eric Anders. There, that's what you have to pay $70 for.
I'm telling you this. If you're tuning into this fight and you're like, I need to see movement in the rankings afterwards, you're right. This is not a fun card. But if you're telling me that I watch fights because I like to watch fun fights, this is a fucking sick card, because Ige Landwehr is going to be Ige Landwehr is going to be chaos. Fugit Malott is going to be nuts until somebody drops. Anders and Barrow is going to be fun. And hit me with the prelims, because there's a bunch of dudes I love here.
Here's the free part. Nasruddin Imavov, Chris Curtis, I like that. Miranda Maverick, Jasmine Jesuda-Vicious, I like that as well. Ayman Zahabi, Ari Keelang, I like that. Kyle Nelson, Blake Builder, I don't think I have an opinion on that one.
Blake Builder's a beast.
Blake the Builder, yes, I remember him. Early prelims, David Dvorak, Steven Ersig, and then Diana Balbicha versus Maria Oliveira. And then Kalia Roundtree was supposed to fight Chris Daukaus. Daukaus pulled out. Not sure if Roundtree, they're going to get him an opponent or not. So
I heard they had somebody, but they haven't confirmed it.
All right. Well, there you go. Gumby heard things. So that is what we're going to be covering this coming Wednesday, Thursday. Prelims Wednesday, main card, and fancy picks on Thursday as per usual. But before then, we have our Monday's episode, our non-UFC episode. The PFL is back, barely. They're limping through they've only gone through one round of their regular season, and they're already limping. But we'll break that down tomorrow with our PFL picks. Until then, I told you about the Discord. Get in there, say hi, have some fun with us. Twitter is SGPNMMA. Gumby runs that, puts sick pictures of people's knees popping and whatnot. He's also at Gumby Vreeland. I'm at Jeff Fox Writer. I told you about my Substack, moneymma.substack.com. Subscribe. I will be running my pick'em contest to be posted on Monday for UFC 289. So get in there. Where else should you get? Oh, you should get the Top Turtle MMA podcast into your ear holes. Gumby hosts that every week. And for all things SGPN, go to sportsgumbypodcast.com. Oh, yeah. We every episode, we try to give you an Edge Boost Double Down play of the day.
I got you. Yeah.
Okay, go.
So if you're looking to get an Edge Boost, a Double Down play of the day, which, by the way, great product. If you're making sure that your funds aren't entirely tied up, you need something to be in on there. So I'm going to give you one that you're going to want to play now before the odds change. So my Edge Boost Double Down play of the day is go get the line that you can find right now on Ikram Aliskarov before he fights Paulo Costa. That fight's at the end of July. But Ikram Aliskarov right now, -120, I think that's going to balloon out of control up into the 200s. You want to get it now, but also you don't want your funds to be tied up. So go get your Edge Boost Double Down play of the day, Ikram Aliskarov, -120. It enables you to double your bet with no interest. So go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge. Sign up today at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge.
What a professional that Gumby is. All right, we'll be back in your ear holes tomorrow with some more picks you can double down on. Until then, Monstro, Jeff Fox. Actually, not until then. When we come in back in your ear holes, I will be Monstro Jeff Fox. He will be Maximus Gumby Vreeland, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.